Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Most of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is written by Solomon. And I trust that you have knowledge of the book of Proverbs. It's a great book with continual reading. I think the book of Proverbs, along with the book of Ecclesiastes, is a good portions to continually read and fill up on. It gives us the wisdom of the Lord, as we're going to see, and with the Lord's help, and as we go through this book and just take it and try to dissect it and see what it says. A lot of good information. The nice thing about the book of Proverbs is 31 chapters, and there's nominally 30 days or so in the month. I encourage you to read a chapter a month, a chapter a day. During the course of the month, and you'll read that through 12 times in a year, and you'll fill up on that. It's amazing how the Lord will bless you and give you recollection of what the Lord says about situations that you and I deal with. This isn't out of touch scripture, but this is scripture that will deal with our lives even today, and encourage you to do that. Fill up on this book and know it, learn about it, and understand the instruction from it. I've told you before that I liken my life to a bucket that's been shot with a shotgun. And so it's riddled with holes. And so we pour that water of the word in there, and it's good, and it helps, and it cleans out, but then it runs out. It's got to be put back in there. And these books, the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, are really good books. Just be continually have that drip feed of the mind of God, if you will, as we go through life and live. Encourage you to do that. Proverbs. A lot of wise men in the world. What hasn't there been? You know, and there's men that have been. I was looking up on the internet and just a consideration of this study and these messages about who the world thinks maybe was the wisest men in the world. And you'd be surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't be surprised about some of the men that they say are wise men. Would you believe that there was a list that actually said Darwin was a wise man? Carl Sagan was a wise man. Hawkins, I can't remember his name, first name, but Mr. Hawkins, just really, really strange. You know, one of the lists had Jesus, but had him down towards the end of the list. And he was, of course, more wise than Solomon. But other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us there was none more wise than Solomon. And why is that? Well, he asked for wisdom from the Lord. When the Lord appeared to him in the dream and a vision at night early on after he had become king, he asked him, said, "What do you want? What do you desire of me?" And Solomon didn't ask for his own life, the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for prosperity. But he asked for wisdom to be able to judge and rule the people. And because of that, the Lord blessed him with other things. And we saw the other night, on Sunday afternoon rather, about how it was with Solomon, how he went away from the Lord. He didn't stay and observe the wisdom that the Lord had given him. But it seems like maybe in the end of his life, he had regret and he had the baggage of his sin. We don't know exactly, at least I don't understand when he wrote these books, but I would venture to say that maybe they would be, as has been said by some, that they would be, that Solomon wrote those at the end of his life with great regret of the pursuit of folly and sin and anything his heart desired. It should have been constrained by what the Lord said, and he didn't do wise in that. But wise words indeed, the Lord saw fit. The nation of Israel, who decided what would be in the Old Testament scriptures, okay, understand that. It was the nation of Israel that received the oracle of God and kept the oracle of God, and the scribes wrote it over and over again. It was they that determined, through the working of the Lord, of course, that the book of Proverbs would be. And that's been brought down to us today in the work of the church. the Lord's church in those early centuries, taking and fielding from the writers of the New Testament scriptures, and they would also keep the Old Testament scriptures there, because that's what Jesus taught from, that's what they preached from, and that's what's been delivered unto us today. And so I find that interesting, how the Lord worked to bring us the scripture. And of course, we understand some about how the Lord worked to even bring it to English, which is a blessing indeed. We have the Word of God with us. What we want to accomplish this evening is take a look at the first chapter here and these first handful of verses to just understand the introduction. Solomon gives an introduction here in the book of Proverbs, and so we want to understand that, kind of break that down some, and see what the Lord has for us here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. What is a proverb? What is it? What would be your definition of a proverb? You know, we need to understand what that is. Well, if we take a look at, you know, at the definition in the Hebrew, and it's the definition that I have here is that there's some superiority in the mental thinking, the mental action of a proverb. It's got a weight to it. It's got force to it, and maybe it's got force to it in few words. Okay, and we find that with the book of Proverbs and the different verses and the different portions of it. A pithy maxim. Those aren't words that I use often in this definition, but it says it's got pithy. Is talking about it having force, and then the maxim, that word is talking about, it's a short statement, but it gets right to the point, gets right to the heart of the issue. And that's what a proverb is. They're metaphorical. I don't use that word often myself, but a metaphor is, you know, is like unto a parable. It takes something that you and I know about, and the Lord took things in life. We're seeing the parables regarding the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Those are things that we know about, and the Lord takes those things and puts them together such that it explains a spiritual meaning unto us. In the book of Proverbs, not only will we understand physical things of life, but we'll understand concepts and attitudes. We'll understand and learn about character. And that's what I see in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. The main thrust is about the development of right, godly character. Character, the way that we think, who we are on the inside, what the thinking of God is, and do we take that and reject it, or do we take it and apply it to ourselves? That we pursue as the children of God the way God thinks, that we begin to think like God thinks. That's what we're to be doing. That's how we're conformed to the likeness of Christ and the image of Christ, to think and operate the way the Lord does. That's what we need. Godly character, a godly, godly way. And so the Proverbs of Solomon, he is the son of David. He was king in Israel, and the Lord blessed him with great, great wisdom. Look here in this introductory part here of this chapter. In verse number 2, the scripture says, the purpose. Okay, so now let's see what the purpose of the book is. The purpose of these writings, okay? Verses 2 through 7. Number 1, to know wisdom. To know, to have an understanding, to bring that into the mental faculty, to learn it, to learn what? To know wisdom, some good sense, to be skillful with what we learn. And as we go through the book of Proverbs and deal with it, we're going to find some words, and we're going to try to break those down. You know, there's wisdom, and how is wisdom different than knowledge? And how is that different than instruction? And then how is that different from discretion? There's some words there. We're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to maybe even take some notes, or if you would like be interested in my notes, I'd be glad to give you those. But we're going to have to understand and learn some words so we can understand how this fits together. You know, you can be the most knowledgeable person in the world, but not have a lick of sense about how to use it. And then with no discretion, you may not know when to use it, okay? And so there's some things about that. The discretion also speaks about, and there's things in the book of Proverbs that tells us about taking what we know and when to let it go and to tell it and when not. Okay, we can do, we may know a good and right thing, but if we tell it or offer it at the wrong time, in the wrong spirit, in the wrong way, we can be very damaging even though we've got the truth. Okay, so we have to understand that. And we're not talking about being wishy-washy or mealy-mouthed or anything like that, but there is a right time. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to speak and there's a time to listen. Okay, a man, not a Christian man, I pray that the Lord would work in him and save him, a very arrogant man, but he did give some wise words to me one time. He said, you know, how many ears do you have? I said, two. I said, how many eyes do you have? I said, I have two. He said, how many mouths do you have? I said, one. He said, that tells us that we ought to listen and we ought to observe twice as much as we talk. You know, because it's, you know, we need to learn. One brother said this, sometimes it does us well not to open our mouths and just be thought a fool, then open our mouths and prove it so. You know, so discretion, we need to have discretion. And so, and then just, we need to understand about it. So there's some words here. And so wisdom is one of those. And wisdom is used a couple different ways, or there's a couple different definitions and stuff and such, and I'll try to guide us in that. So to know wisdom, this is talking about being skillful, to being wise, or to have to be witty. The scripture talks about witty inventions, I believe, in Ecclesiastes. To know how to take what you've got and use it right to a good cause. Okay, not talking about being wily. Okay, like Wile E. Coyote. Okay, and using things in a wrong way, okay? But to know that, to know instruction, this is a chastisement or reproof. You know, the rebuke speaks to us when, if I understand it right, when we are already in error. Reproof, okay, or to be reproved speaks to us about when we're on the way to error. It's a warning. Jim, you don't need to pursue after that. You're not there yet, but you're on the way, okay? Instruction is getting some instruction and information up front like Proverbs does, so we won't even go that way. We won't go in that direction. We won't begin to turn and start looking at that and then heading that way and then find ourselves in the midst of it, okay? And so there's some things there, this instruction, a warning or restraint, chastening, as we've said, or a check or discipline or teaching, doctrine, instruction, rebuke. So to know wisdom, to know how to be skillful with what we learn, to know and hear and know about good instruction. It says in verse number 2, to perceive the words of understanding, okay? And this is talking about knowledge, okay? To this word perceive is talking about to be eloquent in or to possess it, to have discernment. It's another synonym. To perceive, to hear that, okay, yeah, that's good information there. That's good stuff. Or no, that's not good stuff. To perceive the words of understanding, to be mature in it. And then verse number 3, these are the reasons why, the purpose of this that he's writing. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now this wisdom is talking about, it's a different word, okay? And it's talking about intelligence, okay? To gain on the knowledge and have the understanding and to be to have a lot of information and have good application of it, okay? It's talking about more than what we saw in verse number 2 in that wisdom, but to receive the instruction, we've looked at that word in verse number 2, okay, that's coming our way, to receive it, because see, we can hear it and not receive it. We can be instructed and taught, not take it on board. Maybe we're dull of hearing. Maybe we just don't want to hear. Maybe we don't get it and we need help in these spiritual things. We need to ask the Lord. Always we ask the Lord to help us and instruct us from His Word. I think it very good for the people of God to pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and ability in the Word of God. See, I mean, there's a lot of aspects of it. Not if you have it memorized, you and I have it memorized, but we don't know how to take it and use it, it doesn't do us any good. It's just like the words being on the page. If we hear it and we say, yes, it's so, but we refuse to go after it, what good does it do us? It doesn't. And we find ourselves, even in that, disobedient to the Lord. So to know wisdom, to know and to know instruction, verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding, to have them, to bring them to us, to receive it, okay, to take it and to have it, the instruction of wisdom, okay, intelligence, the right information and the right use of the information, to be an expert, okay? To be an expert. Will we be an expert with the Word of God? No. We won't be in this life. Are we to pursue to be so? Yes, we are. We are. We're to pursue it and pursue it diligently. And then it goes on here to receive instruction of not only wisdom, but to receive instruction of justice. What's that talking about? Okay, well, it's talking about that which is moral, that which is legal, that which is according to the law of God, that which brings prosperity, obedience, to be just. You know, the Lord speaks about, I read over it over in Matthew on Sunday morning, about the Lord saying that the Pharisees, the Sadducees that tithed all those little herbs, they left off the weightier matters of the law, a judgment and mercy and another one that was there. See, he says these ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. They're all important. The Lord expects them all. He expects the tithe of that very little thing. But he also says that there are things that are weightier. I mean, the Lord said that. He said that. Let me turn over here. Turn over here to Matthew. Matthew 23, I think it was. So we can read it rather than me misquote it. And he made an accusation to them in this, and in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23, 23. And there's something that goes along with this. He says in Matthew 23, 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint," that's a herb, "of an anise," that's an herb, "and of cumin," that's an herb, "and have omitted the weightier of the law," we'll just leave the italicized word out, "the weightier of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done," the tithe I had coming, "and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides," verse 24, "which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Wow. I mean, that's pretty tough, isn't it? And he said, in this, I believe, I think the 24 is connected with 23. He says, you strain at that gnat of that. That's what the Lord called it. He called it a less weightier affair of the law. But they esteemed that to be great and grand obedience, even to that parsing out of those little bit of herbs. But these other things, judgment, mercy, and faith, bailed out. You know, may God help us that we just don't think that a few things accomplish our service to God and we're clear. Not just a few things. But we always need to be searching what is our service before the Lord and be pursuing that. See, a tithing of those herbs or issues of character, which was important to the Lord, which was weightier? Issues of character, weren't they? Because see, you don't go and put yourself on grab a hold of a thing of judgment. You know, this is not, you can't grab a hold of, you've got to exercise and work and do judgment. You've got to exercise and work mercy. We have to exercise and exhibit faith, don't we? And so may the Lord help us in that. This back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 3, to receive this instruction of wisdom, to receive these proverbs are here to receive the instruction of justice, okay, that which is right according to the Lord, okay, and judgment, okay. Well, this word judgment, what that's about, to receive instruction of judgment, it's to have a proper verdict. It's that, this is that which speaks about not being a respecter of persons. Oh, and we're challenged with that, aren't we? We love our own and we push away others, but we need to love our neighbor as ourself, and we need to be the same to all. and do you think that we'll be out of balance in that in glory? You know, we'll be right to everybody in glory, and we need to seek to be that way now. Now, we have differences. We've got baggage. We've got fears. We've got things that bug us. And we have to have the help of the Lord to get us through that. You know, there's no member of Olmsted Baptist Church that's any less than any other member. There's not. There's not. And we need to behave, not act, but we need to behave that way. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and namely long-suffering. There's long-suffering that we have to do and are called to do with one another that'll help us go through that. We need to be charitable in all things. May the Lord help us. So to learn to receive this instruction of judgment, that we might render a proper verdict according to the justice that the Lord says, His law, His word, His statutes, His testimonies and such. To give a right sentence is speaking about according to divine law, that there's an aspect of it that the penalty meet the crime. When we do exercise judgment, that it's equitable, that it's not a respecter of persons, but it's according to what God says. Boy, our world's messed up in that today, isn't it? You get one guy, he'll run through the same court, and just use the example of a DUI, and he gets nothing, and then another guy just gets hammered, and both of them's first offense. And say they got a clean slate otherwise. But if a man has money that he's able to buy his way out of a thing, maybe, and then another man that doesn't, he gets hammered. But maybe there's influence of the family. Maybe it's a particular family in the town or the county or whatever. And because it's that family, that guy won't get nothing, but some unknown over here gets just hammered. Or maybe there's nothing that happens to anybody because the judge is a drunk. Amen. I'm not saying that's happening in our county, but it happens. So the judge is there in a quandary with his own house not having, not being right, not being clean, and so clean, so he can't execute judgment, right judgment upon anybody that, because he finds himself condemned. It can happen. May the Lord help us. We can deal with the same things. To receive instruction and of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. Concord, straightness, it's talking about, that things be right, that things be equal, and also speaking to us and dealing with us about not being a respecter of persons, but what God says, that being applied. You know, I deal with that as being a pastor, that whole respecter of persons thing. I mean, it is that way. Some of us have the same interests. Some of us don't have common interests at all. And I'm a man. I'm not saying it's right, but that can be a challenge to a pastor. That's the reason I need your prayers for me, that I will be not a respecter of persons, but would love each one in the church and seek to minister to each one in the church in a right way. And that we in our lives, that we not only salute our brethren, as the Lord said, but that we would salute others too. And the Lord says, if you salute your brethren, well, the publicans do that. The sinners do that. What thank have ye? But if you love your neighbor as yourself, that is being representative of the Lord. Verse number 4, the purpose, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtility. What is that talking about? Well, definitions here are talking about trickery or discretion also, deceit, prudence or wily wisdom, but it's not talking about it in the negative sense, okay? It would be maybe a way of being creative, okay? Maybe that would be a way to describe it to the good way. It says here, to give what? To give subtlety, creativity to the simple, the silly, the foolish, the one that doesn't know. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, we don't need to be that way. That's the ultimate definition of a fool. But we need to know. You know, there's not a shame in being ignorant unless you had an opportunity to be relieved of our ignorance, okay? There's no shame in being ignorant unless we've had the opportunity to relieve ourselves of our ignorance in anything. You know, pick what it is. Now, some people understand some things, you know, particular areas or disciplines or what are that, such as that, better than others. But we're talking, this is talking about life, okay? This is talking about character. This is talking about being mature and growing up in the Lord. And there's nothing wrong. Ignorance is not a sin unless we are willfully ignorant. Okay, so that's when the information that will bring us out of this ignorance, when it comes along and we say, nope, don't want that. Just not even going to go there. That's no good. That's no good. But these proverbs are to do this, to give subtlety to the simple, to the one that does not know or the one that is foolish. You know, we all, before the Lord saved us, were fools, weren't we? Yeah, we refused God. We rejected God. We didn't care about His way. We thought it didn't apply to us. We saw no virtue in it, no help in it, no necessity in it. But when the Lord brought His Word and moved with His Spirit and gave enlightenment and light, it became very, very dear, didn't it? It became very, very precious. It became very, very good. I was talking the other evening about how the Word of God, it didn't make any sense to me before I was saved. But I had no Spirit living within me. I didn't have the Spirit of God living within me. But after the Lord saved me, man, it went together. It helped me. It showed me about life. It spoke to me about my life. And it lifted me up. It blessed me. It revealed, the Lord revealed Himself to me in His Word. That's the extent that you and I are going to know God. Huh? The extent to which you will know God, the depth to which you will know God, the length, the breadth, the height to which you and I will know God is how we know Him in His Word. How else can we know Him? It's through His Word. So we need it very much. It gives us a creativity, understanding, and ability, wisdom in Him. To give subtlety to the simple, to give that to the young man. Verse number 4, give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, what? Knowledge and discretion. It gives unto us a knowledge, information, right use of that information, and discretion. Talks about timing and strategy. Talks about, and these are all in the positive, even though these definitions might have it to the negative, because these words are also used in a negative sense in the Scripture too. And so to the young man, are you young? Know the what God says young. It'll keep you out of trouble while you're young and as you get older. Refuse the Word of God and you'll live life in an ignorant way on the broad way that'll lead nothing to destruction. You know, the Word of God is good even for those unsaved to follow. And may the Lord help us as we teach our children. Parents, we don't need to think, well, my child is not saved, therefore the instruction of the Scripture is not right for them. That's craziness. That is craziness. We need to teach our children what God says. That's what they need to obey. Our children, when they get old and they maybe even go out on their own, and if they would not be saved, you know, they need to be in the worship of the Lord. They need to be there. They need to honor the Lord with their first fruits. They need to seek the Lord's face in His Word. They need to be obedient to the way of the Lord. Because any time we go against what the Lord says, it's sin and it's wickedness, and it brings us grief and heartache, shame and guilt. It's that way. And we pray for their salvation. And it's by the word of the Lord that the Lord will use even to save the sinner's soul. To give the young man, give him knowledge. Knowledge about what the Lord says, what the Lord expects. Know the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord and believe the word of the Lord. And give the young man, the young person, discretion, a plan, a right use of that. Then there's some instruction interjected here in verse number 5. Verse number 5, Solomon's saying, a wise man will hear, and a wise man will increase in learning. A man that I worked with, and again, not a man saved, but worked both back in St. Louis, he said, you know, the whole thing about education and going to school is to learn how to learn. Are you and I still learning? We don't need to become stagnant. It's not good from the carnal sense just to become stagnant. And we need to learn good things. We don't need to learn good, you know, things that we can do to pursue evil. But don't be stagnant. Don't be stagnant in the way of the Lord. And don't be stagnant in the way of the world. Okay, and I'm not talking about just the operation of life. We need to always learn. We need to learn. Well, what's it say? What's it say here? It says, a wise man will hear. He'll listen. May not take it in. May seek to have discernment about what to take and what not. You know, we say that about commentaries regarding the Bible. Sometimes there's some good things. Sometimes there's stuff you just need to reject. Writings of brethren or writings of others that try to expound upon the Scriptures. Some of that we can take good things, but other than that we need to reject. The standard needs to be the Word of God. A wise man will hear. He'll hear. But you know what? A foolish won't even give hearing to it. A wise man will hear, and a wise man will increase in learning. One that is cunning, that word wise there. A man of understanding, it goes on to say, in this interjection here of instruction, a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. As he learns and grows and gains knowledge and gains discretion, gains wisdom, will learn about who to go to even gain more counsel and have discernment about where to hear more of the truth and right application of it, and to that he might grow in wisdom, might grow in knowledge, might grow in understanding and application of true things. A man of understanding, a wise man will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. He'll keep growing, keep learning in good, right things. And then he comes back with that, had that interjection there of some instruction. And then back to the purpose, to understand a proverb. See, to have wisdom, instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to understand the proverb, to understand the interpretation of it. Okay? How do I take that and I bring that to my life? What's that talking about? Because it's going to talk about, the book of Proverbs is going to talk about taking a dog by both ears. Now you take a dog by both ears, you're in a strait, aren't you? Right? Let go here, get bit here, right? Let go here, get bit here. Let go at the same time, maybe get bit all over. But there's an application of taking a dog by both ears and then bringing that to our behavior and our way and our character and what we do. Okay? And so these proverbs are going to come across, and we want to know the interpretation. He says here, to understand the proverb is the purpose of these, to understand the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. We want to understand the words of the wise and understand their dark sayings.
What is it that that means? How is it that that applies? We need this good instruction that the Lord would help us. And then some more instruction interjected here in this introduction. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. This word fear is talking about reverence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about what we know, even as the Lord's children, the destructive ability of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, don't fear the man that can kill the body and after that has nothing he can do. But if I tell you whom you shall fear, fear the one after he's killed the body can cast both soul and body into hell. I say unto you, the Lord repeats, fear him. We know as the Lord's children the destructive ability of the Lord. The Lord brought us to fear that, even in a fear of terror, as he worked on us and showed us and revealed himself to us and saved us. Okay? I had great fear of being cast into hell because of my sin and wickedness and disobedience. I did. I feared that. But now, as a child, we have the promise of God that he's not going to do that to us, don't we? He will not destroy us. The only destruction that the Lord says that would be for the Lord's children would be the destruction of the flesh if we became worldly and sinful, and it had to be that we'd need to be removed from one of his bodies to allow Satan to have way with us. That whole operation of the soul going on to be with the Lord, because we're the Lord's child, for that being, if you will, and from the human standpoint, fast forwarded. Talks to us about that in Corinthians. That's the only destruction that the Lord talks about regarding his children. But the fear that we have is a fear of reverence. He's our heavenly Father. We know, as it tells us in Hebrews, that he will correct us, rebuke us, and even chastises, even physically, if we get out of the way, right? We reverence him. And Solomon says here, the fear, the reverence of the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning. Don't reverence the Lord. Don't think the Lord cares about even the little things in your life. Then you won't have the blessing and help of the Lord even in those little things. In those little things. The Lord is above all and is in all things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But here's fools. Here's what it says about fools. Fools despise the silly and those that are willfully ignorant, those that believe that they know best rather than instruction from the Lord. Fools, they despise wisdom. They don't want to hear about wisdom, right good use of knowledge. Don't want to hear about it. All they care about is their own way. All they care about is themselves. The fool said in his heart, no God. Doesn't see any responsibility towards God. Doesn't see any necessity of seeking the Lord's face in anything or hearing from the Lord in anything. A fool has just said, I am on my own. I want what I want. I want to discover my own self. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. They despise that right use of knowledge, and they despise being instructed about it. They won't even listen. The scripture said earlier, a wise man will listen. But a fool won't even listen. Won't even consider. Shoots it down straightway. And then in verse number 8, we see the challenge. Here's the challenge that Solomon makes to his children. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Oh, hear it. Hear it. And he would say, hearken unto it. Not only hear it, but believe it and apply it and use it. Hear it. Hear the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, some of us have had parents, or maybe you had parents that didn't really want anything to do with the Lord, or weren't saved, or didn't have the blessing of the knowledge of the Lord. Solomon is coming at his child from the standpoint of giving them what God says. Okay, that's the context of the scripture.
You know, we need to always honor our folks. They are our parents, and we need to meet our responsibility, our duty to have a love for them, but never put them before the Lord. Never. And if they are not of the way of the Lord, then we need to always turn to our Heavenly Father and what our Heavenly Father instructs us in. The Lord will take up the slack. He'll fill in the gap with good, right things. The Solomon says here, he says, hear my instruction, hear it, listen to it, let it sink down in your ears and into your heart, and don't forsake the law of your mother, the right good thing that your mother says. And then there we had the challenge, and then here's a promise. For they, this instruction of right and good instruction of the Father from the Lord, this law from the mother, which is from the Lord, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, they have evidently the way that they dressed up in Palestine and Judea and Israel in that day, you know, is way different culturally than what we know and do. But he says, if you listen to this instruction, you take it and you hearken to it, you bring that into you, you are blessed and refined by this, your character is built by this, you know, it'll be the best ornament that can be placed upon your head. Where a fellow would get a new turban or a new headdress or whatever, and his brother would say, man, look at that headdress. I like that. I want to get me one like that. Or can you have your mama make me one like that? We just don't even get that, do we? But see, he says it'll be better than anything physically you could ever put on. Why? Because why? Because character of the person, character of the son, character of the daughter will shine forth. The working of God in that person will shine forth and be a greater ornament than anything they could ever wear. Because there's the reflection of the Lord in them. Also, it says, then chains about thy neck. It'll be a chain, grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Where one would wear jewelry, would wear a gold chain, would be ornamented in that. Where that would really be esteemed, says, wow, you know, from that pursuit and from that prey that you got from fighting against the enemy, you know, you got that goodly necklace or chain about your neck. He said it'll be better than that because it'll be coming forth from the person, character of the Lord and way of the Lord that would be coming and being exhibited by that person. He said it'll be better than anything you can put on. So this introduction of Proverbs, the purpose of it and the challenge of it, the promise of it, some instruction in there. May the Lord help us that we hear these words. And if you're here and young, we all need it. But if you'll heed what the Word of the Lord says, you heed what these Proverbs, what's contained in this rich book, the Word of the Lord, if you'll heed that and hear it and listen to it and apply it, there'll be a blessing in it. There's always blessing in obedience to the Lord. Always blessing. Turn from it. Say you don't need it. Discount it. Be willfully ignorant in it. Before the Lord, you'll be counted as a fool. Before the Lord, we'll be counted as fools because we rejected the instruction of the Lord. See, the Lord could have not included this book in the Bible. But he did. He did for a reason, didn't he? And it'll help us.